So since you were about three, okay, when we first initially started dealing with what we call the hassle-free zone, which we really worked to try and make DC into a hassle-free zone. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, what that means and what we're talking about. I guess you got a little taste of that at the beginning. My other guest is Che, and her last name is?
Shenoy.
Okay, Che Shenoy. And they represent a couple of organizations. They represent community action for
collective action for safe spaces.
Okay. Collective action for safe spaces. Also, there's the Hollaback people, and they will be joining us as well. And as I said, April 7th through 13th will be International Anti-Street Harassment Week. And there is a major campaign going on. So I wanted to start off at the top to just, you know, maybe throw a couple things out there that might sound very familiar to you that you've had to confront or deal with at some point and some, you know, sometime. So good morning, Marty, and good morning, Che.
Good morning.
Delighted to have you all here. Let's start like this. Let's start with a definition for street harassment.
Sure.
You know, something, you know, pretty simple that people can just...
Yeah, we all know the difference between a compliment, something friendly, and something that makes you have a knot in your stomach.
And it's that underlying threat that makes something harassment, that just, it doesn't feel right. It feels creepy. And it could be guys we know, guys we don't know, but one of the things that makes women react is not what the guys are saying on the surface on the street. It could be, hey, baby, or it could be something really crude and threatening. But it's the underlying threat. What's the guy's agenda? And the problem for women everywhere around the world is that we're not mind readers. We don't know if this fool is just hanging on the corner saying, hey, baby, because he's just got nothing better to do with his life, or if he's doing what we call rape testing. Many, many rapists, mm-hmm. both strangers and acquaintance rapists, start out the attack with some kind of inappropriate verbal or physical intrusion. And, you know, we can't tell. So what happens for women is some guy says, ooh, hey, baby, give me some. And we immediately go into this whole almost unconscious automatic calculation. Is he following me? What's his agenda? Are his buddies around the corner? Am I going to get grabbed? That's what gives street harassment its power. And, you know, of course, we all know that ignoring it or pretending to ignore it doesn't work. I mean, our stomach's in a knot. We didn't ignore it.
Now,
but being silent doesn't work to stop it. We need something more effective, and that's what we have now.
Okay, now we're gonna talk some about that in terms of, because I know that there are probably a lot of people out there, women, who feel the best thing to do is to ignore it, to, you know, walk faster and hurry up and get where they're going, you know, home or to the metro or wherever, meeting friends, just to hurry up and get there and not to say anything. So, you know, we are going to explore that a little bit, because I know y'all are out there saying, well, I don't know. You know, I try to just ignore it, and
that's pretty dangerous. If the guy's rape testing, it makes us look like an easy target. And, you know, I don't want anybody ever to look like we're going to be easy. If some guy's going to hurt us, he's going to have to work at it. That's why I teach self-defense. But I think verbal self-defense is part of what women and kids, you know, need to know in an urban area, anywhere in the world. We need to know what to say and how to say it to make it, the harassment stop, not just run away like little scared rabbits.
Well, we're going to talk about that. What I want to ask you is, if you can talk a little bit, Che, you're a younger person, but, you know, so if Marty and I are like 15, so, you know, you're like three. But I need you all to, you know, we call it technical difficulty as far as banging on, you know, stuff in on the tables. I wanted to ask a little bit about the history of organizational efforts against street harassment. You know, can you give us just a little bit of history? You know, from my perspective, this, it's been going on, I don't know. I see people standing by the pyramids, you know, harassing women walking by, you know, or harassing women coming by on their camels or something. But just give us a little idea in this area, in the D.C. metro area, you know, around the country, a little bit of the history of organizing efforts against street harassment.
Sure. In D.C., we have found that back in the early 1900s, there were women who started the Anti-Flirt Club, which is very...
The Anti-Flirt Club.
Yep. They were a group of women just like us who were sick of being targeted for being women and being harassed, sexually harassed, in the early 1900s way of being sexually harassed. And this Anti-Flirt Club continued for several years. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things is that, as you mentioned, street harassment has been happening ever since. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to happen on the street. It's just public sexual harassment and assault. Clearly, you know, the initiatives in the 1980s that you both were integral in doing, 1980s and the 1990s, of developing these harassment-free zones in D.C. and testing out different methods and trying to build social awareness of an issue that so many people believe is just the way that you have to be because you're a woman living in an area that's populated by a lot of people. And you know, it's not just in D.C. We have historical documents of this happening in New York back in the early 1900s, where women were coming together and collectively saying no to harassment on public transportation. They had even petitioned the mayor's office to have women-only streetcars in New York. And so these...
Really? Yes. Women-only streetcars?
Yes. And so it's very much... been part of the women's history of trying to take back our spaces and making sure that we have the ability to walk freely, love freely, and just enjoy public spaces.
We have our third guest who's joining us by phone, and that would be Holly.
Holly Curl is the founder of International Stop Street Harassment Week. And I'm delighted that she's joining us. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Holly. Delighted to have you here with us. We've been talking about, obviously, sexual harassment. We've kind of gone through some definitions, and Che has helped take us through some history of it. And I want to ask you, how common, how often does it occur? How many, you know, women are victims or survivors of this kind of street harassment and sexual harassment? Because it is important to point out, as Marty did, that it doesn't all take place on the streets. That sexual harassment is just it's so many, it's so pervasive from my perspective, and it's so many places.
Yes, it is, and we need more research on this topic, but the studies that have been conducted show that generally at least 80% of women have experienced sexual harassment in public spaces, be that the streets or public transportation or stores. One study that was conducted in 2000 in the United States found that 87% of women had been harassed. And a study just came out this week about women in France who are ages 18 to 29, and one in five said they've been harassed just in the past year. And one in four said that they actually feel fearful in public spaces because of street harassment. And I think that's the big issue here, is that street harassment makes us, you know, feel uncomfortable and maybe afraid in public spaces. And we change our behavior because of that. And then we really lose equality. And that's why I see this as a human rights issue.
Now, you know, It took me back to a time when my oldest daughter, Trina, who Marty knows, when she was around 13 or 14, you know, she was very well, you know, her figure was full, you know. She's a very attractive young lady, and she used to just get so much harassment. She started wearing these really big T-shirts to try to conceal her body, you know, and she and I had to have some talks because I did not want her to be ashamed of her body. And I didn't want her to feel like something was being
Well, like being female meant that you were going to get targeted. That just being female meant you should put up with abuse. That's the message harassment gives to young girls all over the world, that there's something wrong with being female and you deserve abuse, which is a terrible thing to tell any young child, but especially young girls. My goodness.
And we have to look at, take a look at why men feel so compelled to do this. And we may or may not get to that in this discussion today. But what I wanna kind of ask, since this is international street harassment campaign that you all are doing, this is a international thing, I wanna talk a little bit about some of the places, some of the other countries that are involved in this campaign that are gonna be a part of this week. And so I want to ask you, this awareness and education effort that is international, how widespread is this type of harassment globally for the need to, you know, hook up in this way? That's the first part of it. And the second part of it is how have you all come together with women in other countries? I mean, is it sort of like they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing, or is it somehow that there has been some connection made for deliberate organizing around this? So I'm going to put this to you, Holly, and I'm going to put it to you, Che, as well. I'm going to add something else for you. Okay,
sure. So the need for this is, I think, very clear. There are just endless stories of sexual harassment and sexual violence in public spaces all over the world, every single country. And how we have come together is a couple of years ago, I wrote a book on street harassment, and I interviewed people around the world who, you know, I researched, I found activists around the world, I interviewed them, and I was so impressed by that, by what they were doing. And I've stayed in touch with them. And so 2 years ago, I said, you know what, we should have a day where we collectively speak out in our communities on this issue to really amplify each other's voices, to point out this is a global problem, and there are people trying to work toward a global solution. And that day was so successful in 2011 that last year it turned into a week. And then this is going to be the second year there is a week of awareness. So really it's a lot of groups that are already working on this issue in their community or on related issues. And they are just, you know, making sure to time their events within the week. But then there's lots of people who haven't ever done anything on this issue who hear about it and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so sick of street harassment. I want to do something. And so it may be something simple, like they're going to share their story with someone, or they're going to post information on social media. And this year, we're encouraging people to go out and do sidewalk chalking, because that's where street harassment happens, on the streets. And you can, you know, reclaim the space. You can put out pro-respect messaging. And it reaches a lot of people you may not otherwise reach who are just walking down the street, and it can feel really empowering. So a lot of groups, as well as just individuals who have sidewalk chalk, are going out to do that next week.
Che, I'm going to ask you, what is a chalk out? What is this?
Well, it's exactly what Holly mentioned. We believe that art is a way of showing activism and a way of expressing our activism. And one of the best ways to do this type of activism for street harassment is to reclaim our spaces through art. And we think that going onto the sidewalks, going onto the streets, and writing our messages about how these sidewalks are ours too. And so a bunch of people get together and they write messages that are either targeted towards their harassers, or they're targeted towards their own empowerment. And it's just a beautiful way of people coming together and, again, blending the art and activism so that we are messaging this out to the world. And really, not even, you know, people aren't, when they do these events, they're not thinking about the world. They're just thinking about their community and their neighborhood. So it's really informing their neighbors about how, you know, you can't harass people while they're walking down the street.
I just want to make you all aware, if you're not, and you may already be aware, but that there is a type of chalk that shows up at night. It's from the Crayola-like people, right? I'm not doing a commercial for Crayola. I'm not being paid for this. But it's the brand that I know that, you know, it glows at night. Like, you know, so you all, when you're looking for the chalk, okay, you might want to consider that so that people can see it, you know, at night. And I think that would be surprising. You know, you're walking down the street and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to let you all know that they have this chalk that does show up at night. So make a note. Yep. Make a note of that. You know. Okay. Now.
And you know, the favorite message I would like to write on the sidewalks, and I will be writing, is harassment violates human rights. What could be more basic, more simple than the right to walk down your own street without a whole barrage of sexist abuse?
Well, you know, I think that I'd like you all to name some of the countries that are involved in this, because as I was looking, I was thinking that for some of these women that are going to be doing this, it's incredibly brave, because they're in countries where gender politics, misogyny is really very defined. I mean, you know, we're talking about places where there truly is, you know, the bride burnings, you know, female genital mutilation, just the stoning of women. So many places where, you know, we don't do that in the United States, but we do other things. So, you know, let's not sit back and pat ourselves on the back. So these women in some of these places, I feel, to take up and be a part of this campaign, that these women are incredibly brave and are risking a lot more than we are, to take up and do these kinds of campaigns. So I just wanted you all to name some of the places that are involved in this, to give our listeners a sense of how widespread, you know, this is. That when we say international, we're not just saying Canada and England, or Canada and England and France, you know, but that this truly is a widespread campaign, a lot of education and awareness involved in this. So some of the places, you know, I know Argentina and Australia and Belgium, and as I said, you know, Canada.
Holly, do you want to talk about what's going on in Egypt?
Yeah, so Egypt is one of the groups that will be participating. HarassMap, an organization there called HarassMap, is leading the way. Document harassment that's happening, especially in Cairo. And then what they do is community outreach days. There are a lot of men in particular who are out on the streets regularly, be they the, you know, security guards or street vendors. And so they do a lot of outreach, particularly to those men, to get them to be active bystanders when they see harassment happening, and really to monitor their areas to try to make sure that their community is safe. So they will be holding one of their community outreach days that week. There's another group, the Sexual Harassment Action Group, that is, you know, honestly told me they're just going to be doing their awareness online, because they have been attacked when they have done protests, especially near Tahrir Square, because there are a lot of, it seems like there's men being paid to attack women who are trying to voice their political right to protest and to voice their opinion. So, you know, Egypt is one of these places where there's a lot of safety concerns for women who want to go out and protest.
Let me ask Che about India. I know that there are a number of things that I'm so happy, you know, that India is involved in this, particularly when we hear, when we had to follow the young woman on the bus who was attacked by, you know, all of these guys. And to me the most positive thing that kind of came out of it was that it seemed to have been like a rallying cry that brought many people together, even men, to stand up and say something about it.
Yeah, it was. I think that, you know, it clearly garnered a lot of international media attention. There are, you know, a lot of people that have, that took to social media and did a lot of campaigning for India. And we, for the international week, we're talking with people in Delhi, and they're going to be presenting several initiatives to the government on what they can do to, what the government can do to address making public spaces safer. There's also individuals who are going to be just coming together throughout India to distribute leaflets and talk to people about their collective responsibility to step up, speak out, and really take action against street harassment. And so hopefully, you know, in India and in other countries, Holly has gotten people from Nepal, Norway, Peru, Poland. I mean, it has an international flair that I think, you know, no other movement really has had. And it's because every single person could relate to street harassment, regardless of what you look like, who you hang out with, who you love, how you dress. It does not matter. Street harassment affects all of us.
I see that in Peru, they are going to host a multi-day street harassment conference, which is very exciting. You know, yeah. I see a number of things that are going to happen in Nepal. You know, Italy, it seems to be doing a lot. As you mentioned, Norway, that's Poland.
That's where my folks come from, and Polish women are not putting up with this foolishness any longer. We have had it with harassment.
And I want to say, too, that I'm just, every day I'm learning more and more about what people have decided they will do, and I'm adding it to the list as I get them. So, you know, there's a lot more action that's planned out there that I just don't know about yet and isn't on the website. So it's really, really exciting, though. Each time I get an email, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at what they're going to be doing in this country or that country.
Holly, so can you give the website?
It's encouraging.
Can you give us the website?
It's www.meetusonthestreet.org. And that's meet as in M-E-E-T, us on
okay.
the street.
Repeat it, Holly. Repeat the website.
Sure. Meet, M-E-E-T, us, on, the street, .org.
And what about CAS?
CAS is at collectiveactiondc.org.
Again?
collectiveactiondc.org.
And CAS stands for Collective Action for Safe Spaces.
That's correct. Yes.
That's good. That's good. I want to talk about ways to stop harassers. I want to talk a little bit about why you all don't necessarily recommend that people just ignore or say nothing, you know, and at the same time to be kind of, you know, conscious and deliberate in what it is that you do say. But we need to take a quick break. You know, that's always coming. So before we get into the actual talking about ways to stop harassers, I want to go to our quick break. And I want to say to people, hang with us. Call a friend. Call 10 friends. And get them on to listen to this program and be a part of this, because this is critical. I'm going to open the lines also when we come back so that people who want to be a part of the conversation, the dialogue with Marty and with Holly and with Che and with me can call in and do so here on the Thursday edition of In Our Voices. So we're going to take a break and we are going to come right back.
Have a car that you're not using anymore? Help us by donating your used vehicle to WPFW, where it will be sold at auction, and the proceeds will help keep your favorite Jazz and Justice station alive and running. The benefit? You get a tax write-off while supporting quality programming.
That's what I'm talking about.
For more information, just call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-WPFW-CAR.
You're listening to WPFW, the messenger.
Okay, and we are back here on WPFW and In Our Voices, and we are talking today about the upcoming International Anti-Street Harassment Campaign. It is a week from April 7th through 13th all over the country and all over the world. Events will be taking place to educate and to raise consciousness. And here in D.C., Cass and Hollaback have put together a whole week of activities in different places around the city. And we're going to share that with you. And we're going to ask Marty how people can find out about the activities that are happening here in the metropolitan area. Let me say that the idea of this as a human rights issue, I think that's very important, because we're talking about people's right to be out and about.
Exactly.
And safe mm-hmm. in doing that, to not have to feel like you have to put on your armor. Mm-hmm. I used to feel like I have to put on armor when I go outside, you know, to be prepared for, you know, whatever is going to be coming and how to deal with it, and trying to figure out, am I going to ignore it? Am I going to respond to it? Is this a dangerous situation? Is it a less dangerous situation? All which, for me, were things that impact what the action or what my response going to be.
Where we go and how we feel about getting there. And what could be more basic than the right to walk down your street, to get to school, to get to your job? When you think about riding a bus or subway, getting groped and grabbed there, or harassed or leered at, or that tongue thing, ugh. I mean, you know, we pay for public transportation. We have a right to use it without being abused. We pay for our parks. And there are parks here in D.C. where you don't see women or moms with baby carriages. Why? Because the guys, the harassers, harass every woman off that park. It's like they own that territory and they use harassment to control it.
If you want to participate, then please give us a call at 202-588-0893. That's 588-0893. And Luke will be happy to put you through, because he is definitely a supporter of women's rights. If he wasn't, his wife would be all on top of him. So he is a supporter of women's rights, and he's going to be happy to take that call. So 588-0893.
We love
you. If you want to be a part of the dialogue, and if you want to share a story, you know, not a whole saga, not a whole chapter, but if you want to share a story of some of your experience, or the experience of one of your friends, one of your family members, about street harassment, then please do feel free to call in and share that with us. So let's get to talking about ways to stop harassers. I know that one of the sessions that you all are going to be doing is on 30 ways. Well, this will be on Wednesday, April the 10th. There'll be a session at the UMBC in Baltimore, Maryland. No. That's the Chalkout event. This will be at American University from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, April the 10th. And it will be 30 ways to stop harassers in their tracks. And Marty will be facilitating and leading that session. So 30 ways to stop harassers. Obviously, we can't talk about all 30 ways, but, you know, Holly and Che and Marty, I want to give you all an opportunity to share some of the ways. And we're going to get to the phones, because I see that they're really lit up. So we want to do that as well. So let's start. I'm going to start with Holly. Holly, why don't you share, say, two ways to stop harassers?
Okay, well, one that works for me is, and that I learned from Marty, is a variation of just saying to the harasser, don't harass me, or don't harass women. And it's really simple, but it names what it is, harassment. It says, don't do it. And when I say don't harass women, I feel like I'm standing up not only for myself. But for women everywhere who may be harassed. And something else you can do is report harassers too, especially if it's happening on public transportation. We have a really great relationship with WMATA, who has launched an online reporting form where you can quickly and easily share a description of what happened to you. And they take these reports seriously and will follow up with you.
Well, let's. We're gonna go to. I'm gonna go to Marty and Che, but I think we'll take a call from one of our listeners. Why don't we? We have several up here. Why don't we start with a female? So let's start with Sister Asantewa. Good morning, Asantewa.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for this program. My question is related to another slightly related issue, and that's what I call thug rap and some of our movies. And my concern is, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that like Rick Ross and other thug rappers and Tyler Perry's new movie called Temptation, where there's a scene in the movie where a lot of people feel that it's the rape scene, and how that gets, how that message gets to a lot of people. When they see such a movie by Tyler Perry especially, they may think, well, it's not that serious, or mm-hmm. it's okay, or whatever. Right. That's my concern, of how these kind of messages get spread out to the public. If anyone could comment, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Collective Action has been working to address media issues like this. There are several organizations that are activating right now based on a wide variety of media concerns.
Because it's that rape mentality, you know.
It is. It's the rape culture.
That encourages people to think of women as, well, men as predators and women as prey, which right. is not the world we want to live in.
Right. And the reality is that these artists have a lot of influence on the way that young boys and young women think. And you know, part of it is our ability to collectively come together and say no to the advertisers that promote these artists, and saying that we're not going to buy from you, we're not going to, you know, support these types of role models that you're supporting.
Now, I want to go back to the lines to Shanti, but before we take that call, why don't we share two more
sure.
ways to deal with stopping the harasser?
One thing that I would like to share is that sometimes silence is a way to stop the harassment for yourself. So some people, you know, don't have the ability to speak and really don't have the courage to speak. They may feel threatened in the area that they're in, or may not even speak the same language that the harassment is happening in. And so, you know, we allow survivors to experience street harassment in the way that they feel the safest. So I just want to footnote that. I do think that, you know, when you find the empowerment, and these tools that Marty teaches are so empowering for a lot of people, you have to keep practicing it. So one thing you know, that we have done at Collective Action is taken some of these tools and tried to used it in our trainings. And one way to do it is to say, you know, if you see the harasser every single day talking to you, you know, saying, you know, my name isn't baby, my name is whatever your name is. So please stop calling me baby. You know, those types of ways, a lot of people don't know what they're doing is harassment. You know, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. We're teaching our men to think that this is okay. We're teaching our women to think that this is also acceptable behavior. And so creating dialogue is really what we're trying to do. And it's really what you all did back in the 80s and 90s and trying to create this dialogue between the harasser and the potential harassee and saying, we all have names.
Well, I want to ask you how men, the harasser, responds to this, because I know that for many women, the fear is that the reaction is going to come back. You know, maybe he's going to curse me out or really invade my space and get right up on me and things like that.
I mean, and those are all legitimate concerns. I mean, we have had cases in D.C. where the escalation has led to violence, physical violence.
Let me just jump in on that if I can. What we say and how we say it really matters. We are never going to tell people to get up in some guy's face or cuss him out or insult his masculinity. But just like with physical self-defense, we have moves that work. We've now spent a fair number of years researching verbal self-defense. And these workshops during Anti-Street Harassment Week are about what works without escalation. Turns out, in fact, that the research shows silence is not a terribly safe response. A lot of women are accustomed to doing it because they don't know what else to do. But there are other things that work way better and are way safer. If the harasser is rape testing, for example, silence doesn't protect you at all. But there are things you can say. One of them is the simple all-purpose statement. In a real calm, matter-of-fact voice, you just say, stop harassing women. I don't like it. No one likes it. You're speaking for all women here, not just yourself. You tell people, show some simple respect. And if you're like Jay says, some women are afraid to say anything. We have a great one-page flyer. You can go on Cass's website and print it out and just hand the flyer to the harasser. That leaves them dumbfounded. I love that technique.
Yep.
It's a one-second technique. Just give them the flyer.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to go to Shantae. Good morning,
yes.
Shantae.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Okay, my story, it happened not on the street, but in an office.
Right.
There was harassment in the office.
Sexual harassment, absolutely. We say that right now. It's focused on the street, but total acknowledgement that sexual harassment can take place in, you know, work, home, school, even church. You know, whatever. And, you know, there's ways to deal with that as well. So I just want to let you know that we're not confining it just to street harassment. So, Shantae, please share what you want to share.
Okay. I was in a meeting working at a certain law firm, and the guy made a comment to a female, a manager. He said, oh, you're gaining a little weight. You're starting to look like a bubble butt. And hit her on her rear. And everybody was just shocked. She said nothing. She laughed.
Did anybody speak up to say that was not okay?
No.
This is where bystander intervention is so important. You can make such a difference.
Exactly. And I guess everybody was more afraid because of the bullying that, you know, that went on in the office. Also, oftentimes when there's sexual harassment, there's other bullying going on too. So, yeah, no one said a word. But after the meeting was over, I asked her, I said, why didn't you defend yourself? And she said, I didn't want to make waves.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to make waves. So I said, but you are offended by that, are you not? And she said, I am terribly offended.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it's socially accepted, and it was a social norm to harass the females in the office. And if she spoke out or made any comments toward any other direction, you were dealt with on a covert level.
Mm-hmm.
So
it seemed like, oh, we're not targeting you, but yeah, we are targeting you because you're going against the grain of what we do here.
So they're making a hostile work, and she was fearing, and you're saying that they would be making a hostile work environment for the individual and making you feel like possibly that your job would be
in jeopardy.
In jeopardy.
No question. Absolutely.
Yes.
In jeopardy.
Yes. Well, you know, my suggestion, Shantae, is to get in touch with Hollaback or get in touch with Cass, and possibly if you are interested, you know, with you and the women in your office, those women who have been harassed or those women who are gonna be harassed, that you all might get together and engage in dialogue and some sort of a workshop with members from CAS or Hollaback. So we will be giving out the email addresses again. And thank you so much, Shantae, for calling to share that.
Thank you for taking my call. Ladies, have a great day.
You as well. We are going to go to Tesfa. Good morning, Tesfa. Good morning, Tesfa.
Good morning. How are you?
We are quite well.
The issue of women's harassment, rape, and human rights violations against women is something really serious, serious. Take the case of Congo, where hundreds of thousands of women were raped and killed. And in other places, Ethiopian women sent to the Middle East as maids and being raped, killed, and organ harvesting, and all sorts of things are going on. But there are serious women who care about human rights, like Ana Gomez, of the member of the European Parliament. She is from Portugal. She is really serious about human rights. But in America, people who are supposed to lead the human rights campaign of women are so politically ambitious, individually ambitious, they don't do a thing. And the problem of women in America is being a stopping ground to get into a political office. What did Hillary Clinton do for women in Congo? Think of it. What did the female ambassador of the United States in the UN did do? Think of it. They were covering up what goes on in Congo, both of it.
Okay.
So
now,
we
Tesfa,
need you, women of America, need an independent organization.
Agreed.
That won't be taken over or hijacked by ambitious women.
Yes. Well, Tesfa, thank you for, you know, for that perspective. And absolutely, in this country as well as in other countries, women who are part of the political system could most assuredly do more. And I don't want to paint a blanket that all women that are in elected office are silent on this issue, because they're not. And there are a number of women who are very actively supporting organizations and groups of women in the areas where they are to be able to have voice and be able to take action. But, you know, you are certainly correct in that we need more. We need more voices. We need more women to recognize this. That makes me want to ask the question, how do you respond to people who feel like that, what's the big deal? You know, so you're walking down the street, somebody said something, you know, why can't you just ignore them? Or who feel like, well, they were just giving you a compliment when they say, hey, baby, you really look nice today. I like that red skirt,
yeah,
or whatever, you know, that shouldn't we be pleased that they want to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind dealing with the fact that you didn't pay for my clothes. You didn't pick my clothes out. I looked in the mirror before I left. I already know how good I look.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily need you
right.
in some leering kind of way.
Right.
And also that you did say, and it is important how you say things.
Yeah.
You know, you might be walking down the street and somebody might say, good morning, oh, you look nice today, and they keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell from the
Absolutely.
Way that they're saying it that they're just being friendly, and, you know, they're just letting you know that you look nice, and that's it. You know, but then you have somebody else who's like, hey, good morning. Right. You know, you looking really, really good. You know, that's a whole totally different thing.
And it's what your gut says to you, right? I mean, your gut instinct, we oftentimes with females try to do a good job of getting rid of their gut instinct. And I think really what street harassment...
We need to pay attention to what...
We
if
do.
It feels creepy... It is creepy. We're reading it right.
Yeah.
Trust your instincts.
And I think one thing that we are doing at Collective Action that is very useful to the dialogue is that we're creating dialogue around this, right? There are no laws against street harassment. There's laws against the various crimes that fall under the umbrella of street harassment. But how do we as a community define street harassment? And we need to create that dialogue. We need to say that in some communities, this type is culturally okay. But why is it culturally okay? You know, and asking those critical questions of are men and our women. It's not just, like the caller said, you know, he was focusing on female politicians. But what about our male politicians? What about our men in the movement? And that's what I think Collective Action is really striving to do, to get men involved, to get LGBTQ individuals involved, because it affects everyone.
We're going to go to the lines. If you're there, Lawrence, then we certainly want to hear from you. And I want to remind people that we are at 588-0893, 588-0893. If you have a question, comment, a story that you would like to share, of something that happened to you, a family member, a friend, then, you know, certainly do feel free to do that. Lawrence, good morning.
Genji and your guest, I'm also known as a Beku.
Okay.
Anyway, I just want to
Good morning.
That 2 weeks from yesterday, that would be April 17th at IKG, Tony Browder, there's going to be a workshop seminar on women's personal safety. And if I may give out a website address,
you
it's a free event to women and actually to all. And I really appreciate and understand that we as men need to be more conscious and then, you know, each one, reach one, teach one in terms of what's appropriate behaviors and encounter with women in general. But the website is YouGetFitToFight.com, and that's the letter U, get fit, the numeral 2, fight.com. And there's information and registration links there. And it's going to be at the Anthony Bowen Y on 12th Street, and that's, you know, part of Tony Browder's Wisdom Wednesday. So I would encourage all folks and women in particular to come to this free event. And it's about some things that you can learn to do when things do get escalated to the point where you're physically threatened, and also how to prevent that, you know, in terms of protecting your personal space. I've seen some of the demonstrations in the past, so I think they're very effective. And so there's going to be a great demonstration.
And, you know, Abeku, I wish you could see into the studio right now so that you could see the smiles that came across Marty and Che's face when you shared this information about You Get Fit to Fight. So thank you very much for calling in to share that. And it's good to hear from you, so thank you so much.
Can we talk about some of the other events that are coming up in the week?
Yes, we can. I did want to give you a opportunity to, you know, well, first of all, to give any kind of information on where they can get this information. So to give the websites again and kind of try to quickly run through the list for here in the District of Columbia, and then we're going to go to Clarence. So Clarence, just hang in there, and you know, we will take your call. Luke will connect you because he has a daughter, not just son, so he has an interest. No, I thought Luke had daughters. Keep his personal life out of it. He tells me keep his personal life out of it. Okay, so
let's talk about some events. Sunday, April 7th, DuPont Circle by the Fountain. Cass is going to have a anti-street harassment sidewalk chalk, and that's the art that Che was talking about. Put your slogans of respect on the street at DuPont Circle and take those Day-Glo crayons home with you to decorate your own neighborhood all over the city. On Monday, April 8th, there'll be a chalk out up in Baltimore and a tweet chat. Wednesday, April 10th, is 30 Ways to Stop Harassers in Their Tracks at American University, Ward Circle Building, room 101, 5 to 7 p.m., and a street harassment discussion up in Baltimore that day, too. Thursday, April 11th, we got a street harassment rally at American University, Quad 1, you're all invited, and everyday participatory art project against harassment. Bring your crayons and chalk to that, too. 3:30 to 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 11th, will be at Georgetown University Law Center, room 164 McDonough, for another workshop on what works on the street, how to handle harassers without having it escalate and without being silent. What works, what's not even hard to do. Learning what works, what to say and how to say it. And at the Children's National Medical Center from 5:30 to 7:30 on Thursday evening, the 11th, will be a workshop empowering youth to take action against abuse with an exhibit. That's at the Children's National Medical Center, 111 Michigan Avenue, Northwest. Saturday, April 13th, 1 to 4, Southside Plaza, George Mason University over in Fairfax. They're going to do a slut walk, which says that basically we have a right to be safe and on the street no matter what we wear. And at 1:30 that afternoon, D.C. Self-Defense Karate Association and Rape Crisis Center will be sponsoring a self-defense and harassment workshop at Bancroft Elementary School. That's at 1755 Newton Street.
You can learn more about this by going to www.meetyou.meetyouonthestreet.meetus. Well, it says here, it says
it's a capital M and a capital U and a capital S. Meet us on the street. Capital M, M-E-E-T, us on the street.org.
Okay, meet us on the street.org. Clarence, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, please, I'm going to have to ask you to make it brief. Thank you for calling.
My comment is simply this. Is there a reason why no one has made mention of the role and responsibility of law enforcement when people are being harassed on the street? That's my question.
Yeah, let me answer that, Clarence. We've had interesting conversations, and as Che said, the Metro Police are now really stepping up to deal with harassment on the bus and subway system. That's great. D.C. Police, it's been a hard call because the laws don't necessarily prevent harassment per se. They may prevent groping and grabbing as a sexual assault, but we don't want stuff to get to that point before the cops step in. So we're asking all the police officers, all the law enforcement officers, to come to these workshops and help educate themselves on the community intervention skills and to work with us to make this unacceptable behavior, because we don't want women or girls or gays or GLBT folks or elders being afraid on the streets of D.C. in our own neighborhoods. We're talking about taking back our communities and our parks and our bus stops.
Thank you for that question, because that's certainly the question needs to be asked. Bill, good morning. We're going to have to make you our last caller. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're pretty well up here.
Oh, okay. First of all, let me say I respect women because of the way my mom raised me. But the harassment of women comes about because of bullying, which is the American way. And that determines a lot of, you know, why women get harassed. So if you get rid of the bullying, that'll help women a whole lot.
Yeah, harassment is a form of sexual bullying. You're absolutely right. Thank
yes,
you.
Thank you for allowing me to say that.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You. Holly, Lisa, we remember that you are with us in this conversation. Is there anything that you would like to share as we close out?
I just want to say, you know, thank you for having us on the show to talk about this issue and for all the people who called in, and that there's really no wrong way to participate in the week. And at the very simplest level, I encourage people just to talk about it. You know, as Che and Marty have said, we just really, really need to have more dialogue around this issue. And I think one of the important ways and easy ways to start that dialogue is by sharing our stories and our experiences, especially for women to share that with the men in our lives, because often they have no idea what we're going through. And once they become aware, of what we're going through, they may start to notice it happening and may be more willing to stand up and speak out. So sharing our stories is really essential and key.
And you all have a place online. Cass has a place online where you can share your stories, where you can, you know, email your stories, and it can be anonymous, or you can include your name, and they will put your stories up on the website.
That's
because
right.
I've read some of the stories that women, I've read some of the stories that women have shared online about their situation. So, Cass, would you give your one more time?
Sure. It's collectiveactiondc.org. And if you go to the website, again, collectiveactiondc.org, there's a tab on the homepage that says submit my experience. And on that, you can just send in your experience without needing to share your name.
Absolutely. You know, we are out of time. Marty, I want to thank you so much for coming in to share, you know, along with Cass and with Holly. So we're wrapping it up. And as I say, raise your voice for yourself. Raise your voice on behalf of someone who has not yet found their voice. Peace. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I used to think that I could not go on. And life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know.